Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 14. Prajapati Daksha continued, "The Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is the ultimate resting place and source of everything. Everything is done by Him, everything belongs to Him, and everything is offered to Him. He is the ultimate objective in whether acting or causing others to act. He is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low, but since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as the Supreme Brahman who existed before all activities. He is one without a second and has no other cause. I therefore offer my respects unto him." Okay, so we... Srila Prabhupada comments, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original cause as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Even this material world, which is conducted under the modes of material nature, is caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who therefore also has an intimate relationship with the material world. The material world were not part of his body, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Cause, would be incomplete." Right? So it's also, he is everything. So that means whatever is there, he's all the different aspects. Right? Because if you're going to have a balance, then you have to have all the different parts. Right? So you're going to have the spiritual world, you're going to have the material world, you're going to have what's in between. Right? Does that make sense? You have to have it. So that makes his completeness. It's all that. And it's all him. Right? Yes. Us. The jivas. Because we're Tathasta.
If we're situated somewhere,
why can't we be in between? Do you want to try to place one quarter of unlimited and three quarters of unlimited?
No. We're not talking about this.
No, we're talking about his energies. Yes, it's not place. No. So then, if that's the case, you want to know if we're, the kind of area where you're living is that right in the middle, or you're not too far this way, too far that way, like that.
Just to make sure.
Just to make sure.
The right and the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah. Make sure it's like, yeah. Okay. So here's, he's pointing out how Krishna is everything, right? He's the resting place, source, everything is done, everything belongs to him. So this is a very important aspect. You see this in that verse about, what is it? The last part is, Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam. Right? So Bhoktaram yagyatapasam. So the results that you get, he's the enjoyer. Right? So that's your prayojan. Right? Then sarvaloka maheshram, that's the place. So that's your sambandha. Suridam sarva bhutanam, that's your interactions. Right? So in other words, we have everything is there, right? Because we look at things from the Brahman platform. And from that platform we see everything is Krishna, Krishna's and everything. But the whole point is that's the aspect of jnana. But the point is, okay, so what about all those things? Mm-hmm. right? Because I see this is here, that's there, this interacts with this, this with that, these are the laws governing it and all that. So I'm doing that, and that's actually being religious in that I'm accepting the laws of God. I'm seeing them, I'm following them. Okay, so that's a good position. But the real point of it, the dynamic part of it, is that it belongs to Krishna. Right? Because if I'm just looking at the mechanics, okay, I'm more pious than the person who doesn't see the mechanics or is speculative about the mechanics. Does that make sense? But here it's about it belongs to Krishna. Now, if it belongs to somebody, I have to deal with it differently than if it's just a generic, okay, this is how it works. Yes. You understand? So then you have to actually be not just Krishna conscious, but Krishna conscious of the person. Because the idea is Brahman Paramatma will lead you to Brahman.
So basically, if there is no owner of the energy, then there is no objective moral value.
No, because then you can do it. Other than, yeah, it means on the ultimate, means if you have to deal with it, you have to deal with according to its nature, the mechanics. But why you're doing and what you want to get from that, that's no law. So if he's the owner, then it has to be according to his. Right? Then you're going to have how you say? And then Bhokta Ramya Gyatapasam. Then there's the goal. Then the point is he's the enjoyer of it. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. Sarva Loka Maheshwara, everything belongs to him. It works according to his rules, his modes. But operating that, it's his, so therefore you have to consider him. And the results of it are for him. He's the enjoyer of it. Right? We'll be happy assisting him in enjoying that. Right? So then again, it comes down to Bhagavan. Not just, okay, he's God and all that, but he's the enjoyer of this. Not to just as his, right? Then you have Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Now, why interact? Interaction technically means what? Relationship, right? Because you're actually taking, means you have the knowledge, okay, this is this, that, but when you actually apply it, you're interacting, that's the relationship between yourself, those objects, other objects, yourself, other persons. In other words, yourself in the field. What's your relationship? So he is the ultimate friend within this relationship. Right? Because otherwise you'll think, I'm the friend, and I'm the one, and I'm the... No, but ultimately he's the friend, because he's the one that makes all these relationships work. Right? So that's what Prabhupada says, this is the peace formula. You understand this, there's no problem, because everything's done for Krishna. We say, you know, it's nice, but no, this is actually practical. Because it belongs to him, so it can't belong to us, so we have to be considerate. Right? What we're interacting with being belonging to him and him being the nature of those relationships, then again we have to consider, how do I deal in this relationship? I can't just say, well, this is how I want to deal. No, the relationships are his. And he's the actual friend. So the point is he's the friend in that relationship. You want to be part of that friendship, great. You don't want to be, you do whatever you like. But the actual part that's nice, that's Krishna. Right. And then, from that activity, you'll get a result. Who's the enjoyer of that result? Right? That's Krishna. Right? So then Krishna, everything being part and parcel of him, then those who are part and parcel, then they will share in that. Right? That's what creates our happiness. Because Krishna shares, that's why I become happy. We're thinking, why do I have to share? Why can't I just enjoy it? But Krishna, what he gets, he shares.
And he has more than we have.
Yeah, that's there. He has more. But the point is whatever we offer, he'll share that.
Yeah. Right?
With
who sees the relationship with him. Right? You know, in other words, you see your relationship with him, then within that, then that's shared. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it works. Because all he's doing is asking us to do what he does. You know, be considerate. You know, be conscious of the other person. Do things without karma and jnana. That's what he does. So the point is relationships happen on an equal level. You can't have relationship, friends outside of, there has to be common ground to make friendship. So he's only asking us to behave how he behaves. Then there's friendship. So that's why the Shakyam and the devotional process means understanding things and doing things the way Krishna likes. That's friendship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's actually the very dynamic. It's not just something that's done. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that make sense? Yes.
I was about to share, I just wanted to share. During the boys' festivals, we can cook offerings for Radha Maharaj.
Okay.
And, it's very nice to offer something to the beings, but then to share it with devotees is a very special feeling to do that. You feel really happy sharing that.
Yes. Yes. No, that's very nice. That's very nice. You see, in Govindaji Temple in Jaipur, that's very standard. You have everybody's doing parikram around the deities. It comes to the artik, and then there's parikram. It's a very big parikram path so that everybody can go. It's not little dinky one. Like those kind you have to go, sideways by, like the one between, Govardhan and the wall when you hit the back road on the parikram path. It's not like that. hold your breath, like that, and you figure, I think I'm gaining some weight, right? You can't come around, right? Like that. Yeah. So then, I noticed they're buying ladus, and then they're coming out and then distributing to everyone there. And so, I saw that people give, and you go around and like that. And then I forget I thought, okay, done my parikram, now we'll get some ladus and go. As soon as you come out the ladus, everyone comes out.
Yes.
I'm just thinking, hey, no, this is not working, right? But then the thing is, you do parikram and all that, and you get at the end, or you get another bet, put one away, and then distribute one. The point is that thing of sharing and all that, getting some sharing, that's very, very much, the Vedic tradition, but especially Vaishnav and Gaudiya tradition. You see, it's like Suri Prasad, Lord Chaitanya, one would have to consider that of all the all the individuals in Puri, Lord Chaitanya would basically be the senior most. Right? You could make a strong case of that.
Yeah.
Right? But when it comes to serving Prasad, he likes to serve Prasad. Right? And it's not a problem that he's serving Prasad, because everyone can benefit from seeing, his example, that relationship, that interaction. But the problem is he serves Prasad how he eats. So he eats enough for five people, so he puts enough for five people on everybody's plate. No one can eat that. So they just ask him, please sit down. Right? And then who serves? Right? Then all the new bhaktas, right?
No.
The shorter they've been around, the better, right? No. Then Srub Damodar, Ramananda Rai, all the senior devotees, they serve. So that's the whole point. It's about that. Does that make sense?
Every year we have the Prabhupada Disciples Reunion on behalf of the Advaita Swami. Afterwards, the Advaita Swami and Kadambakananda Swami serve for all the servants who serve.
Yes. Yeah, right. Like that. That's good. I also remember before it was... very expert, Nitai Chand Maharaj. He used to oversee the serving for the GBC, but he didn't actually do it. He just got a stool, high stool, sat there, and then everybody else was serving. But he could see everybody and all that, and he would tell them, he's come, give that one, that, this one, this. And if it really kind of needed something, then he'd get up, go down there, and do things like that. So the point is it's being overseen by someone who's more mature in devotional service. Then they have more of an understanding of Prasad, Vaishnavas, Vaishnav Seva, like that. Well, the new devotees, they're on the bottom of the pile, so naturally then, one, either they're enthusiastic, so they like to serve, or, they don't have an excuse not to serve. yeah, like that. So therefore, then they always end up serving. But actually, in the tradition, it's a more senior serve. Like that. And then like this. Then after they said, then the others that were said, then they then they take care. But in any case, there's that reciprocation. It's all about reciprocation. That's the meaning of the friendship. Right? So Krishna being the ultimate friend, then friendship has to be based on how Krishna likes friendship to be. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. He shares everything. So as we share, then that pleases him. Right? So if we're benefited by the Krishna conscious movement, then we share that with others. Right? That's the point. Then another aspect, if you take this, so that just makes it a practical how Sambandha Abhidaya and Prayojana works, because otherwise we'll look at it, we've been looking at it from the Brahman platform, following the rules, then the Paramatma platform, following the duties, and Bhagavan platform, trying to please Krishna. Right? And so the Bhagavan includes the other two. You're following the rules according to your duties to please Krishna. Right? So now we see in this that for the materialists, then there's the person who doesn't understand the rules and acts whimsically. Right? So therefore it's not theistic. They don't see the laws of nature connected with God. So if it's like, we're not this body, we can do whatever we want, technically that's atheistic. Yes, we're not the body, but the body is the body, and the modes of nature are the modes of nature, and the world belongs to Krishna. It acts, functions according to his nature. So to say, oh, I'm not this body, so I'm just the soul, so now I can act independently without the rules. Because we forget where the rules come from. The rules come from Krishna. Right? So this whole, that's why Niyamagraha is not appreciated. It's dealt with very early in the Upadeshamrita. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So controlling the senses, and then, okay, that's me, then when I'm going to interact, then Niyamagraha. Because if that's not understood, it's atheistic. Right? So you have that as the lowest platform. You know, atheistic and whimsical. Then those who are more smart, like the Asuras, they follow the rules, right, and the dharmas, but it's also atheistic. It's not about the Lord. So they're not worried about that they're pleasing the Lord. They just accept that if you follow these rules, they'll get more out of it. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you come to the next level where they're theistic. They accept the Lord's laws, and that it's important to do that. So they're pious, right? Just like the Asuras, they're pious, but it's atheistic, right? So now you get pious and they're theistic, right? And so then it's either karma misra, bhakti misra karma, or jnana misra, bhakti misra karma, or bhakti misra jnana. So they're following the rules and all that, but actually they accept the supremacy of the Lord, but it's not about bhakti. But they use that little bit of devotion to get their karma or to get their jnana, so their elevation to heavenly planets or to their liberation. You understand? So these are all materialists. Does that make sense? So we find this within the universe, there's a lot of these. Most fit into these categories. Right? Because that's what they're doing. And then so that's because they're materialistic. Now, within that materialistic, you also see the majority is pious. And only a very small amount is not pious. Even general people, they tend to be pious. If there's some rules or something you're supposed to do, some obligation, they'll tend to follow, whether they really like it or not, but they feel that's the important thing to do. So actually you have a very small group that they are either totally unconscious that there's any rules, it's just so much about themselves, they're like animals, or they're a little bit more sophisticated, basically animals, where it's just about what they want to do and they don't really care. So they intellectualize. Yeah. You understand? So these are smaller amount of the public. Like that. So this idea is that, no, this is the universal, this is what works for everybody, it in no way represents actually, you know, the common person. But because of, you know, the Muda, he thinks that everybody's like him because he doesn't have any sensitivity to notice. And those who are just more sensitive, the Naradamas, then they think, oh no, he says, we're the world. Yeah. Because, you know, they're the small group that is successful in the world, but they're not actually the major amount of people. That's why Naradamas can't lead. Mm-hmm. When you put Naradamas in the lead, they're always going to make trouble. Mm-hmm. Because they don't consider anyone but themselves. Mm-hmm. Right? They see how everything works and they see how to take advantage of it. While the Muda doesn't see how it works and doesn't know how to take advantage of it. He just basically like reacts like an animal. Does this make sense?
Naradama is basically a sociopath.
Yes, they're a sociopath outside of their own social, what they accept as their own social norm, and they take that their own social norm is the universal norm, is the objective universal norm. So that's why it's actually a very, that's why they're considered the lowest.
Yeah.
Right? Because they don't actually benefit anybody else. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. He's talking about rasa, partiva, swargiya, and that. Point is, these all apply. It depends upon what you're doing, how you're applying it. That's a different formula. It'll fit, but it's we're looking at the point of piety, and theism, atheism, you know, impiety. That's what we're looking here. Then when you come over to the spiritual platform, okay? Then on the spiritual platform, then you're going to have working with that Brahman element, so it's theistic, it's to please Krishna. And so you do everything according to how the modes work and do everything mechanically very properly. Right? And then that can either be used for nivritti or pravritti. That means within grihastha life and occupations, or, you know, as in renunciation. Does that make sense? Because it'll get superior results in either. But it's being done ultimately for Krishna, but we're only basically understanding or relating to Krishna on this first platform as Brahman. That he is everything, he's all pervading and all that. So it'll be tend to be a bit more of an intellectual platform. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, efficient but more intellectual. Then the next will be Paramatma, where we're seeing duties. Right? And so therefore we perform our duties because, you know, Krishna is the supreme, he's the controller, he's the creator, maintainer, destroyer. And so we want to do everything right. And that also can be nivritti or pravritti, right? Either used, I do my duties as a grihastha, I do my duties as a celibate. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Like that. So then we found, that's the next higher. So we see in this, when you get into here, the jnana aspect actually becomes the lower.
Yeah.
On one sense. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Then you get into the Bhagavan platform. So therefore, one is doing everything to please him as a person. And so that again can be either for nivritti or pravritti. Does that make sense? So therefore, seeing Krishna in everything. So naturally, you see Krishna in everything. So then you deal with what is everything according to what your means, your position, how you interact, what's of value to you. You understand? But it's basically purely mechanical. But it works because it's connected to Krishna. The next stage then, you know, it means we're going back over the three we just mentioned, going to more details, that you're starting from the position of Krishna is all-pervading, everything is Krishna. Right? Then you go to the next stage. Now, within this, what am I supposed to do? Because the first one is I'm engaging properly. Maybe I'm supposed to be doing this, maybe I'm not, but at least I'm following the rules that govern the application of that particular field and its interaction. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, it's pious on that platform of Brahman, but not actually socially pious. You know what I'm saying? Because I may not be following Varnashram, and they may be mixing things or doing things that should, but at least it's connected to the Lord, and they're trying to please the Lord by following his rules in the subject. Right? Does that make sense? The next level up then means I am okay, within that means, because in other words, what we're taking is, you can take it that they just see according to those three, like we said before. And it's very simple and straightforward. The farther up you go, the more simple it is. Mm-hmm. Right? Then this going through it here, we see is that it's actually, there's more depth. Right? So then you see everything is Krishna, how it all works and all that. Now within that, what is my duties and my position? So as a grihastha, as a brahmacharya, as a vanaprastha, like this, or as a brahman or a kshatriya, but what am I supposed to do? Because there may be situations that you could run the mechanics, but they're not technically for you to do. That's why Krishna says, don't do something that's not yours. Better to do your own duty than someone else's. If that you're doing someone else's and it's connected to Krishna, you'll be purified. But better to do your own. So better to come to this platform of Paramatma. Right? So then you're seeing that level. And I'm supposed to do these. Therefore, then you carry them out with that same understanding of the Brahman, that I'm acting according to the mechanics of the situation, making it all work properly. Does that make sense? Right? But then the next level is I see the mechanics of the thing, the nature of it. I see what my duties are, and I do that to please Krishna. You understand? I do that to please Krishna. So that will be the highest of them. Rather than just, I should do this, or it's proper. If I don't do this, there'll be problems. You know, if I do this, I'll get benefit. It's just to please Krishna. Right? And so then that naturally, then that one takes the point, just that that then ultimately then it comes to, it's about pleasing Krishna. And then, in this situation, what could I do to serve? Does that make sense?
And he says that a real Brahmana is a Vaishnava.
So real Brahmana is a Vaishnava.
He would function on the highest.
You could say a really real Brahmana. You can be a real Brahmana, follow all the Brahminical rules and all that, but a really real Brahmana.
So then the Kshatriya, he would tend to function more on the Paramatma level because he sees...
Not necessarily. It's about being a devotee. Mm-hmm. Because the point is on the ashram side, everyone can be situated in the Brahminical platform. There only is in the Vedic system Brahminical, but it's just a matter of how much does the ashram become flavored by the varna, right? If one's not very developed, you tend to flavor the ashram by varna, but as you advance more, then you flavor varna by ashram.
Yes.
Right? So when we say, when Prabhupada mentioned varna first, that's so you know how to situate somebody and all that. But that's just to see the social thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then according to varna, then you can know how you can situate yourself properly in ashram. Like if someone's brahminical by varna, then they could be a brahmachari or could be a grihastha. Right? They don't have to get married. They could not get married.
But anyone else would be.
But generally anybody else would be more comfortable as a grihastha. It's in other words, it's common to find Brahmins who are not married, and it's rare to find non-Brahmins who are not married. Though it happens, but it's rare. You understand? So then from that, Brahmin Kshatriya Vaishya, then they would tend to go to Gurukul training. Shudra, if they were more advanced or more developed, or you know, more depends on the mood, they get benefit from it. If not, then you know, they get some other kind of training. Does that make sense? And then you know, training that sets them up for an occupation. In other words, the dwijas, their training, Gurukul training, is about how to be a dwija, how to be a human, right? For the Shudra, it's how to have an occupation that they can assist humans. Does that make sense? Like that. And naturally, there'll be some basic training that's based on, how do you say? That's based on the culture and all that. But the point is if they're not so clean or not so self-controlled or not so have such great character, as long as their skill works and they can cooperate with others, it works. Right? Yes.
Can you say that for bridges, the training would be in the ashram, and for shudras, it's in the varna?
Basically, because how do you say? Because for the dwijas, they're trained in brahmacharya, which is the actual basis of the other three, and it's the actual basis of all the varnas. Right? Means that brahmacharya, that makes everything else, the other seven aspects of the system work. Well, the shudras tend to not get trained in ashram. right? Because they don't, brahmacharya isn't very important for them, mm-hmm. right? For them, it's about the family and about getting a job. So they'll stay in the house and they'll do an educational system that trains them so technically they can get a job. Right? But there's no real consideration of what's their nature and what kind of job they should do. Sometimes they get a little bit more, sometimes generally less. It's generally it just kind of happens. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So they don't really get trained solidly in, they don't get trained in brahmacharya, really, so they don't make great grihasthas. So the grihastha life, though that's their main attachment, their main focus, everything's about that, it's not necessarily a very pleasant one. It can be if there is some, if somehow or another in that family line there's some understanding of relationships and how to deal. So as long as they accept authority, they have, you know, some basic, that mood of, how you say, menial service, then that will make even their grihastha life work nicely. It'll make the service work nicely, the grihastha life work nicely. But if they don't have that sense of that dutiful submission, then neither the varna or ashram will work. You know, so in the past, then for the Shudras, it would go fairly smoothly. You know, it means for their consideration. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some plates flying and this and that and some radios whizzing across the room. Then you know, okay, the wife's upset. You know? And then they would consider and get involved in it. But it wouldn't be a big deal. You know, if it came to that level amongst any of the others, that would be like way over the top. You know what I'm saying? But it's very workable. So they would get in, they would try to make, you know, figure out what's going on. But when you have this thing where it's no authority, and so if there's no authority, then automatically it's about yourself, right? So that was the Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. If it doesn't belong to anybody, then it's for me. But if it belongs to somebody, I have to deal with it according to how that person likes. So if there's authority, I have to act according to authority. If there's no authority, then it's up to me. I act according to myself. And so, like that, then if you have a husband and wife, they're both acting without authority and just for themselves. That makes for the you know, the epitome of can't live with them, can't live without them. Right. You know, they just can't function. So if they're not married, they're an anxiety. They're married, they're an anxiety. In other words, just their life is miserable. You know, the job makes them miserable. The family life makes them miserable. You know, they go off on their own. They get away from it. They become miserable. You know, I mean, how long can you stay on a boat traveling around the world not taking a bath and growing your whiskers? You know, it gets old after a while. Huh? You also, yeah, like that. You know, your skin gets quite, you know, salty and like that. And so then, you know, then when you come back to get into it, then you're not necessarily any better for it. Maybe you're willing to, you know, but whatever, you understand what I'm saying? The whole point is it's trouble. So that's why then the Vedic system is the focus is on Brahminical culture. And so the basis of that is the Brahmachari training. If that's strong, then the whole system can go nicely. And if that's there, you're not distracted, then it's very easy to take your existence, your values, your goals, and your endeavors and make them connected to Krishna. So it makes it much easier to be theistic and much easier to be devotional. So that's why the Vedics recommends that. Does that make sense? You know, so if you want can do it physically on campus, that's always the best. If not, then in the home, that's understood. It can be done to some degree like that. It's not as efficient, but it's you know, it's done. Right, you see, it's all the different, what do you call it? If someone has a religious, you know, strong religious background, it's all religions, then would have a system for children not being in the home and being trained by other religious people. Like that. So all the world religions, they all have that. So, it's worked quite well for so many thousands of years. Right? As we move away from that, then we see the social environment degrades. Is that, okay. So, yes.
So now, when a Shudra is assisting the Vidya, can we say that the Vidya has a responsibility? They can influence the Shudra.
Yes, that's the idea, is that whichever Dvija you're following, then naturally they're then trained in the Gurukul, so they're going to act according to some qualities. The skill is there, because that's what the Shudra knows. Shudra knows a compatible skill, but it's the qualities that he doesn't know. So then that he'll pick up from the Dwija he works with. Right, and then with the Shudras, you know, are higher up on the totem pole there, they'll naturally pick up something. Because why are they higher? Because of their skill is better, but you have to have better character as you move up.
Yeah.
Just because you're good skill, if the character is not there, it's always a bit touchy.
Yeah.
You know, so unless it's something really, really important, then they may bring in that one, you know, skilled person who's good at that. But he's trouble for everybody because it's just a bigger trouble than the trouble everyone will get out of it. But because it's temporary, everyone can tolerate it.
Yes.
And then once it's done, then they're, you know, out of the way again. Right? Because otherwise, is that what it says? Yes. So that's why it says for the Shudra to serve a Brahmin is the best. If he can't, so just like it said, is there's the natural occupation of everybody, Manu gives. So the natural occupation, you know, of the Shudra is to serve Brahmins, right? You know, the natural thing of the Brahmin is to study and teach scriptures, like that. You know, for the Kshatriya is to protect the people, for the Vaishya, you know, to take care of the cows and to do some trading and give in charity, right? You know, this is the natural form. If you can't have that, then you start adjusting. So the Shudra, if he can't serve a Brahmin, then he serves a Kshatriya. If he can't serve a Kshatriya, then a Vaishya. Right? And if no one's available, then he does a skilled trade. Right? Means he has a skill, he can do it, but the skill should be valuable for dvijas. Right? Does that make sense? Like you have Shudras, they have a business, you'd think they're a businessman, but they're technically not.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's they have a skill, they can manufacture something, and they do that, but they do it themselves. They may have a few people assisting, many times it's family members, and that. But you see is that, you know, you come today, and the business is there, and a certain standard and quality and certain size. Come back after 10 years, it'll be exactly the same. Maybe they've refined it a little bit, you know, figured out what things they don't need to do, what makes it work better. Their product looks a little better, works a little better. You know what I'm saying? A little bit more developed, but they're still economically basically the same. Come back after 20 years, same. 50 years, same. Right? But Vaishya, he works in that same skill. He engages, so he starts off doing it himself because he knows the thing. You come back after 1 year, he has people working for him. Come back after 10 years, and he's got, you know, branches. You understand? That's the difference. So that is also going to be done. If you can't do that also, or if it depends where he is, he can do farming. But it means he can do farming of what he farms himself. Right? How much land he can farm himself, that much then he can do. So he's technically a Shudra, but he's doing farming. Right, just like the other, it's technically like a business, but it's just a skilled trade. Does that make sense? So then the point is there's the natural position, so that means serving a Brahmin. And if not, then it comes down, and then whatever they can do. Yes. No, but it's not about Brahminical Varna. It's Brahminical Ashram. Varna is Varna. We're not worried about that. What we're talking about here is Ashram. Because no one talks to them about Varna Ashram. Who's telling them what Varna Ashram is, how it works? Or is it everybody, oh, we're so transcendental? Which is it? It's the second. Totally. So that's why there'll be confusion. The point is yes, that may be the nature, but the point is you still need to get trained as a brahmachari if you want to be successful in whatever area you want to get into. You want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a businessman, an industrialist. Unless you're a good brahmachari, you can't do it. Right? The doctor just sits around and just goes 9 to 5 to work. you know, especially if he's smart. Let's say he's a neurobrain surgeon. When does he do neurobrain surgery? Huh? At night or whenever it fits in, whenever there's a need. It's not that, you know, he can just work it in around, that, you know, he works around that. How do you do that? You have to have controlled senses. You understand? That's the point about Dvija. It fits around them. The Shudra, he comes at 9, he leaves at 5. The businessman, it doesn't work like that. It's whenever something has to be done, he does it. So Dvijas have to be more trained. So the point is, you know, therefore, everybody has to be a brahmachari. This idea that only Brahmins are brahmacharis, no, everybody's brahmachari. And then how long you can get trained as a brahmachari, better. Right? They should have been trained since they were 5, but they're not. They have to wait until they get a college degree. Then they get trained as a brahmachari. So they've been grihasthas up until they graduate. So now, become a brahmachari. It's a little late, but hey, it'll work. If you're enthusiastic, you're focused, it'll work. So where's the confusion? You understand? There's no confusion. Fine. What's wrong with that? No, but what's wrong with that? What do you mean by point?
What stage is it possible?
The point is means remain a brahmachari, and what's the alternative? Become a superhero, or, you know, go back to your regular occupation as a, you know, what is it, shape-shifting, you know, alien, or what's the alternative to brahmacharya? They can't figure out if they just want to remain simple in the ashram as a brahmachari doing meaningless service, or whether they want to take sannyas and travel the world and be an acharya. What has Varna got to do with it? That's because no one tells them. I'm not a Brahmin. I don't know whether I should eat breakfast or not. What has it got to do with it? I'm not a Brahmin means, okay, I'm not going to do this as an occupation. But what has that got to do with getting married or not? Brahmins get married also. Because the question is not, oh, I want to do other service. Because in the temple you can't do, there's deity worship, there's preaching. There's no administration in the temple, there's no management, right? Nobody deals with funds, no one collects any money. So then Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya stuff is there. You want to fix the car, or change the light bulb, or work on the electricity, do the plumbing, you can do that also as a brahmachari, right? So it's not about the varna. It's about ashram. They don't know whether they want to be a brahmachari or a grihastha, right? So, Chanakya says, right? Right? So if you don't know whether you want to be a brahmachari or grihastha, then you're supposed to be a grihastha. Because if you're a brahmachari, you'll know it. Just like, if you don't know whether you're hungry or not, then what does that mean? You're not hungry. So if you don't know whether you're a brahmachari or not, means you're not a brahmachari. Right? So, that means you're not a naistika brahmachari. That doesn't mean that you're not an upakurvana and should get trained. So the point is okay, I want to get, so the point is not whether I should remain brahmachari or not, it's that I'm going to get married, but when? Am I trained enough? Am I mature enough? Am I situated enough to get married and be able to carry on good sadhana or be Krishna conscious? So then you plan like that. This idea, no, you're brahmachari eternally, no. That if you can do it, great, but the point is if you see that getting married, then therefore, then how long? You know, so 4 or 5 years, okay, that's nice training. If it's a matter you feel, well, I'd rather do another year or two, then you know you're going to get, so if you know you're going to get married after 2 years, being a brahmachari for 2 years is easy. But if you think you're going to be brahmachari eternally and don't know when and whether you're getting, then for 2 years you're just going to be spaced out. So that's the Vedic system. This other system, we made that up. Brahmacharis make that up. But it's not the Vedic system. So the point is, learn the Vedic system, practice it, preach it. because all this confusion comes over not actually understanding the system. That's not the Vedic system. That's something made up by brahmacharis. So that's not the reality. Follow the reality. It works. That's why it's there. You know, it's just like if we say, okay, today's a fast day, and I just say that, then there's an anxiety. When do we eat? No, we don't. It's just a fast day. No, but what time will, you know, when do we break fast? No, it's just a fast day. How well will that day go? No, but if we say, oh, it's fasting till lunch. Okay, we just, that's the point. The Vedic system is perfect, and all these made-up religions, whether it's made-up brahmachari religion, made-up grihastha religion, made-up vanaprastha, it doesn't work. So that's the problem, is devotees like to make up quasi-Vedic or quasi-modern. It doesn't work on either. It doesn't work in the modern world, it doesn't work in the Vedic world. That's what we're talking about. That makes sense? Okay. Yes. Yes, basically. Because otherwise, then why are you doing things? That's why then for devotees, then they understand the philosophy, they practice it. So even they joined and they are, you know, haven't had brahmachari training or they're already grihasthas, still they understand the principles and try to apply that. So they introduce that brahmachari aspect into their life. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, the concept of Shudra is that it's just senses, whenever senses and sense objects can come in contact, they interact. But the principle of brahmacharya means no, there's regulation when the senses and sense objects act. So I eat at regulated times, I sleep at regulated times, right? I do things when my recreation is at regulated times, I work at regulated times. So everything becomes regulated. So therefore, even as a grihastha, one can introduce this to great advantage. Right? And if one does that, that's called a grihastha brahmachari. Because brahmachari means you're controlling the senses. So grihastha brahmachari means you're controlling the senses in the environment of grihastha ashram. So in other words, brahmachari means is controlling the senses in nivriti, and grihastha life controlling the senses in pravriti. So it's just a broader field. Does that make sense? So it's a more complex field, while the brahmacharis is a more simple field. Right? So that's the thing. If it's understood, it works nicely for everybody. Otherwise, it's that you're a brahmachari, you don't make it, and so therefore it's a fall down, so then you're a grihastha. Now that you're a grihastha, now what's your view on brahmacharis? Yeah. Well, actually, I know this guy and that guy, they're still brahmacharis, they're not married, you know, they're just putting on a show. And then the whole thing just goes to hell. Point is they know they've done their brahmacharya, they did their vow, and then they then get married. Then it's very nice. Then it was a good time. They got trained as a brahmachari, something to feel good about. But if it's just you go and then fizzle out, then you don't feel good about it. So therefore, you know, either you spend the rest of your life being, you know, feeling, you know, how you say, insecure. Or you compensate that by, you know, everybody else is a schnook and you're good. You understand? So that's the problem with the modern systems. They're not complete. They're not personal. Right? Though they try to claim to be like that, but it's only, you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, yes. You come across like this idea that brahmacharis mainly sleep and eat. Is this also from the idea that there's no varna for a brahmachari?
But it depends upon who's saying. It's brahminical. The brahmachari, how they're asking is brahminical by ashram. Mm-hmm. There is only ashram there, so they're going through that stage of it. So depending upon their varna, they may be more enthusiastic and active or not. But that's nothing to do with brahmacharis. That's the question is, are those people supposed to be in the temple as brahmacharis? Why are they in the temple as brahmacharis? Right? because it's easier for grihasthas to get the brahmacharis to do those things, so they don't have to do them. And so therefore you just have to take whoever will come along, because the brahmacharis aren't managing themselves, they're managed by the grihasthas, so they can't actually be real brahmacharis, but at the same time as they do a valuable service for the grihasthas that makes it easier for their family life. So that's not brahmacharya ashram. Prabhupada said, no lazies, no crazies. So if they're only eating and sleeping, then who let the lazies in? Right? That's the whole point. Because if you see a temple where there's a brahmachari temple president and there's brahmacharis, you don't have that. You only have it where the grihasthas are the president and they're never around, so the brahmacharis have to do everything. So then you get enough that they kind of, you know, grudgingly get by with a few things. Then you get that. You know, so if there's no authority, no leadership, then you'll get that. But otherwise, then you raise the standards and then, you know, either come up to the standard or they'll go away.
And others will be attracted.
And others, those of better quality will be attracted. The point is, yeah. Does that make sense? You know, let's say I have a diner and the electric sign outside, only part of it works. You know, it only says, "Ner." You know, and you walk in and, you know, those little stools with the vinyl seats, there's little holes in them and that, and the woodwork looks, you know, needs a little varnishing. Who comes to that place? Right?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Now you clean it up, redo it, refurbish it, and all that. It's still a diner, but not, then you get another class of people. Right? Turn it into a restaurant, another class. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that whatever standards you set, that's what people use. So we're saying, oh, how to attract these more sophisticated people, then make the place sophisticated. Not by modern standards, make it sophisticated. Just because you put in a couch that's already 10 years old is not, oh, we're modern, we're making it. No. People don't care what's there. There's one kind of, interior decorating. I don't remember the guy's name. But you'll have this whole room, huge room, nothing in it. Whole thing's painted white. You know, there might be like on the wall in one place, one little picture like with a yellow dot on it or something weird. And then there'll be this little square bed that has nothing. You know, it's even hard to tell it's a bed. And, you know, maybe one little light stand, something like that. That's it. That's it in the whole room. You don't even see the light switches. You don't see nothing. And that'll be sophisticated. People can relate to that if they're sophisticated. They may prefer a little more furniture, but they can relate to it sophisticated.
It's consistent.
It's consistent. And then you have the houses, you know, it's just total kitsch.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a square millimeter where there's not something.
Yeah.
But everything matches, everything's in its place, everything's arranged and clean and orderly. You know, there's just thousands of things, but they're all arranged. So it works. Then you can relate to that. Very homey. You have the other one's very artistic. Very. So that's the whole point. If it's sophisticated, the people relate to it. That's the whole point. We're thinking, it has to have a, you know, table and chairs and they have to wear their shoes. That's not the thing. That doesn't work. You know, we're not the only people that you take off shoes when you go in a house. Japanese, you take off your shoes when you go in the house. You know, and that's in modern day Japan. You know, they say, so it's just, you know, it's cultural. That we don't have culture, therefore we see these things as non-culture. So we're saying Western, but it's not sophisticated, it's not culture. That's why we don't attract cultured people. You know, and say, oh, we're doing home programs, so therefore these people are coming. Why are they coming? You're having it in anybody's home? No, you're having it somebody who's more sophisticated, and therefore sophisticated people come to their home. Now, if you made the temple like that, that's sophisticated, doesn't have to have the same furniture, then they'll come. You understand? So that's the point. It's the character. So that means brahmacharya is a mentality. Brahminical is a mentality. Brahmashatya Vaishyashudras Varna is skills. So that's another thing. Whether you're a grihastha or not, it's not by I have skills.
It's whether you're more comfortable there. You know what I'm saying? So, is that what?
Yes.
Can we say that you can say the thing is closer to Brahmacharya training is like the army?
Yeah, and the Western thing would be like the army or any of that kind of something that has disciplined, or the kids growing up, they go, you know, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, anything that has some kind of discipline like that. Or on the farm, that they go out and farm with the adults, they help put up the barns, they do the work. It has to be something where they're doing practical work that adults are doing. So the point is, Gurukul is training in what adults do. See, the modern education, the environment there is not like that. Is there such a place in the, you know, real world, you know, devotees talk about, where everybody is the exact same age as you and is learning exactly the same thing or doing exactly the same thing? No. Everywhere in the world, everyone's from, you know, a baby on up to, you know, how you say, one foot on a banana peel and the other, you know, foot in the grave, right? You know, so anywhere in between. And if you go to an office, everyone's not doing exactly the same thing. They all have different things. They all have different responsibilities, different. So this concept, the modern education, where everybody's doing exactly the same thing, is totally unreal. You know? Totally unreal. So that's the whole thing, and does that make sense? So this is the problem. So the Vedic system is what you would use as an adult. You use that as a kid. You use it as a kid. You don't just learn it. You use it.
We do learn it.
Yeah. So therefore, you know, whenever you qualify, you're 8, 10, 12. You're knowing the mantras and doing the pujas that adults would use. We take, oh, the kids are small, give them little simpler things. No, they do. They can do. It's the adults who have the problem. They can't learn something new. The kids, there's not a problem for them. That's the difference. So that's why then, if it is an adult, then you want to introduce the brahmachari, aspects in your life. You take your practical adult life and then apply the principles of brahmacharya, acceptance of authority, cleanliness, basing things on scripture, basing things on your duty, basing things on proper ways to dress for the occasions, being sense controlled, being, you know, willing to do your work and serve, assist. You apply that, then everything will work perfectly, both within your house and in your workplace. It'll work perfectly. It's just harder to do it as an adult because you have habits. But it's not impossible. It's just, in other words, the kids have a less developed intellect, but they don't have any, preconceived ideas. So they learn new things quite easily. Adults have already a set pattern, but their intelligence is more mature, so they see this is important. They can then do it, right? But it's best to have association of those who also have that value. That'll make it so much easier. You understand? So that's the point. Better late than never. So it can be done, but you have to understand what is brahmacharya. Right? Brahmacharya doesn't mean you spit on the ladies. Oh, he's a good brahmacharya. Did you see that?
Yeah, wow.
15 feet away, he spit on that lady. Wow, now that's a brahmacharya. I don't know if this guy's a very good brahmacharya. He wore the same color socks, you know. You know, so that's not how it works. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, anybody, if they understand, can apply it. Because these principles of brahmacharya, those girls learn those also. Just they learn it in the home environment. Boys have to be taken out of the home environment to learn. Does that make sense? So in other words, technically, girls are more suitable for functioning within the material world. Right? So in the household environment, they can learn all the things to work there. Boys can. They're more suitable for getting out of the material world. So you have to take them out to actually learn the things so that they could function in. as immanent. It's just the nature, so it works. So that's why the Vedic system is what it is. And it's perfect, it works, it's always worked, it works today. People with little faith don't understand it, don't make the endeavor, but their lack of faith doesn't make have any influence on Krishna's control of the universe and his laws of nature. Nature is still nature, it doesn't matter. We have faith in it or not, it still acts the way it acts.
Even though it's 2016.
Yes, even though it's 2016. Amazingly enough. Maybe in 2116 it might be different, but you know, at least for right now, then, you know.
Remove the people's screening to check the character or their nature.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And how are they doing that?
By killing the guy.
By killing the guy. Okay. They kill the guy?
They are changing the genes. You know?
When do they change the genes?
When?
When? When do they do it? Just means he's just sitting there at his diner drinking his coffee and that stale donut, and that they just come up behind him and spray something into his neck and that and disappear, and then he turns into something else, right? He morphs, you know, his hair goes purple and, you know, like that, and his tongue's out more, and then, you know, he goes like that, and then, you know, and then waiting outside is this guy named Gru, right? Yeah, I mean, when?
No, it's like even before birth.
Yeah. Even before birth.
Yeah.
The embryo.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they have to do that. So, therefore, why can't they do it when the guy's an old man? Take the 70-year-old guy, turn him into Olympic gold medal winner. Can they do that? No, I'm just saying. You say they're talking about it. Have they done it?
Not yet.
So many things they haven't done yet. Like figure out how to make their marriage work. They haven't done that yet, but they've been talking about that also. You know, how to become the Nobel Prize winner. That also hasn't happened yet. Okay? No. Just listen. Because you do one thing in a petri dish, okay, great. But how many births are going on the planet? Every so many seconds or set, there's somebody born. Every second the scientists can do something? No, they sit there for years and then do something with one thing. Okay? So one is they do have to understand that the volume of what they do and what God does is very different. So, you know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say if you had a professor, he's done, let's say, in a year he did one of these, and successfully, okay? He's nicely situated. What if you had another professor, he's done 30 of these in one year? Would he be of a higher status? Okay, what about God? He does, you know, millions and billions of these every year. So wouldn't he be in the highest status? He'd be the best scientist? Yes or no? Okay. Then, two, why do they have to do it at the stage of the embryo? Because that's where the laws of nature allow it. So they're not doing anything outside of what the laws of nature allow. You understand? But because they think, I'm able to do this, but it doesn't belong to God, they think it's their doing. But they still have to follow the laws governing science. A scientist is someone who works according to the laws of science. They don't make the laws. They observe the laws. God makes the laws. So you can't do anything at a time that won't match. You can say, oh, we can do this, we can do that, but you come back after 10 years and it won't happen. You know, they've been talking about, you know, this stuff for years. You know, when was the sheep? What was it? Dolly or whatever it was? Yeah, 20 years ago. Dolly's probably dead, right? Hmm? Yeah, You know, and that, do we have another dolly, you know, here and there, another, you know, sheep, that, where are these, you know, super, you know, where are these, you know, how you say, superhuman, you know, guys that are going to make the new army, and that, you know, and they've already, you know, how you say, the Russians have, you know, saved the brain of a particular gentleman who was also in very much into this, and, you know what I'm saying? They talk about it. You know, it's in the movies. It's in the video games. Really, in the video games. That's the real reality.
So they made a little money out of
it. Yeah. So they made their money. They're already good. But the scientist is still sitting there. I guarantee you, come back later. So they'll still be scratching their heads. But it's only what's allowed you can do. Yeah, and you already have two of those that you do with your mind. In fact, everyone in this room has one. Everybody except Dr. Strangelove. He had one arm he could control by his mind, and one arm that would do whatever it likes. And the funny part, he was the scientist. Right? Normal people have two arms like that. He only has one. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they created, but God already does that with every living entity. So what's the big deal? You know, I mean, especially if you don't control it with your mind, you control it with your foot. Now that would be something different. But God already made it that you control your arms with your mind. It says that all the senses and sense objects are controlled by the mind. That's already there. We're talking about it here. They're talking about this. This conversation happened 5,000 years ago. About a conversation that happened, you know, trillions of years ago. So, whoopee, you know, your mother also cooked noodles for lunch. Something that the scientist cannot do. Right? In other words, great. But the point is everybody has their skill. Yeah, it means, do you have, in China, do you have guys that sit on the side of the road and fix shoes? Can the scientist sit down and fix a shoe? No. So therefore, he's superior to the scientist in that area. So everyone has their specialty. Where does that brain come? Where does the brain of the scientist come from that he can think about these things? That comes from Krishna. He didn't make the brain. They can't make the brain. Right? Prabhupada just talks about that. You know, people die and they take their brains and heart and try to analyze them to figure out how to do all this. They can't. Brain's already there. Although say, oh, it's in the thing. Until they unraveled the DNA, could they work with it? Could they work with changing DNA when they didn't know what DNA was? No. So therefore, who made the DNA? God made the DNA. So you have to follow the rules of DNA to change DNA. Just that they have to do it through a mechanical system, and Krishna does it by the fragrance of the mind. That means a fragrance of the desires that is there in the mind when they go into the next body. The soul leaves the body, the mind and senses go with. So depending on what the desires were and all that, that gives the fragrance to the subtle body. That creates the gross body. So Krishna does it by that fragrance, that subtlety. They have to do it by gross mechanics. He does it ever so easily. They have to do it with great, great problems, money, this and that. So therefore, yes, they're able to do this using the brain that Krishna gave them, following the laws that Krishna gave them. And they do a little bit of it, while Krishna does unlimited amounts of this. So if they accept his position, his authority, then they'll find their own authority works a lot better. But if not, then they're just, you know how you say, clever animals. You know what I'm saying? You know, you say, an animal has a particular environment it can function in. Take them out of a lab, they can't function. Put them out in the, you know, out in the middle of the, you know, square with all the people during, let's say, New Year's Eve. They're freaking out. They can sit in their lab, their little white coats, you know, petri dishes. They're great. Give them a blackboard, party ball. Right? You know? So they're a particular kind of animal, just they're very thoughtful. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of they are able to document what, you know, because they have the language, so they can document. You have a monkey, it sits there on the ground, it jumps up, bounces off the wall, jumps off the top of the windowsill, bounces off the pole, you know, for the electricity, and lands over on the roof. Anybody can do that? That means they have to see all that. It's not that he sits there and jumps and, okay, now where? He just looks and sees the whole thing like that. And then, you know, sees, you know, some noise is there, he looks and he's gone. So it was a moment. He analyzed that whole thing. That means he analyzed the energy, the trajectory, everything. The only difference is, you know, he's not talking to you and writing it down on a piece of paper. Could you imagine if you put down the actual scientific formula in mathematics, what it would take to do that, the angles and everything like that? It would be very big. You could definitely get a PhD out of it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And here the monkey does it. So basically all we're doing is saying, you know, there are monkeys that can communicate a bit and write things down. And not only that, they're scientists, they got to accept that they came from monkeys, so there's not a problem there. They can't complain. Is that okay? Yes. Wow. Where was that? No, in which country? Oh, okay. Yeah. And then have they factored into the equation that two ladies in one room means war? Oh, I see. Everybody gets their own room. Okay. Yeah, if you could do it. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. I guess I could see the logic. Yes, and how far have they gotten? And how many of those ladies in that biology department are now with men? That's the thing to check. You know, it's not that the men are something special. It's just that's the nature. Men and women go together. You know, the guys down at the pub are also thinking if there were no women, things would be great also, right? You know, they could just sit down at the pub all day, right? You know, no one to complain, no one to say, you know, you're home late and, you know, like that. You forgot to bring the potatoes, you know, all that. You know, so it's both sides, you know, have their theories. But, yeah, okay. Okay, so, what were we trying to... Yes, so therefore, the devotee is able to see the Lord in everything, understand what it is that he should be doing to please Krishna, and then do that to please Krishna. Therefore, because of that, that's why you can see you have Narad Muni on one side, doing that, or Priyavrata as a grihastha on the other. Right? Mm-hmm. Both have proper brahmachari training. One remains a naishtika, the other gets married. Both are paramahamsas. Because they see everything connected to Krishna. Within that, what is their duties, you know, that is defined by Krishna. and that they're doing that and the results are for Krishna. So it doesn't matter what it is because it's all Krishna. Mm-hmm. They're seeing it from that transcendental platform, not, oh, it's all Krishna so I can do anything I want with everything. No, then if it's Krishna, why would you do just anything? Mm-hmm. So whatever the situation, they're supposed to be involved, they are. If not, they're not. Right? Sukadeva Goswami is running down the road. Does he not see the nice-looking girls? He can see the girls, but the point is why are they attractive? Right? Because of Krishna's potency, so because of the universal form. Right? Girls' attractiveness come from the universal form. There's a good chance 5,000 years ago that they had, well-arranged, aspects of the universal form. Right? Like that. Right? But he's a brahmachari, so he doesn't have anything to do with them based on sense gratification. Right? And they're taking their bath, so it's not the time to, girls like that you drop in and say, hi, what's happening, like that. You know what I'm saying? So, what does he do? He just keeps running. But it's all part of Krishna. You understand? So that's why it's said that naturally the senses are controlled, all good qualities come because you see everything in connection to Krishna. So this is the point, this is where this mechanical understanding of the philosophy comes in. We can see it very nicely. Mm-hmm. It works very well. So either it comes by mechanically going up through the system and applying it, or by just surrendering to Krishna and then having understanding all this. But it's not that you have to go through, it's just a moment. Prabhupada says, you see something and it reminds you of Krishna. And since you're doing everything for Krishna, you remember Krishna and to do it for Krishna. So all those mechanical things, you don't have to sit there and be thinking. It just happens anyway. For us, it's called jnana yoga because for us, it's a long, drawn-out thing. We actually have to really think about it to connect it to Krishna. But we see, the residents of Vrindavan, it's just a moment and they're thinking of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the advantage of the Bhagavan platform, is all these things are included. But if not, we can't, then wherever we're situated, we apply that. And then it works very well. You see? Much of this. It's all connected to Krishna, therefore everything we're dealing with is Krishna. Therefore, what are Krishna's law? As Krishna, in other words, what are the laws of nature? The laws of nature, how Krishna likes to be dealt with in that particular form and activity. Right? Krishna as a car likes to be dealt with in a particular way. You do the ignition only as long as it takes to start. You put in the key and keep turning it? No, you just turn it. Or you just push the button, or you just say start. Whatever it is that works. You don't say start, 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 start. You don't do that. No, of course not. The kid in the back seat does. That's always a problem, right? So that's one reason why you may not want to have a car that works by voice commands when you have a 3 or 4 year old in the car. True. The ones that have those cars have grandchildren. So don't take your grandchildren in the car. True. Yes. Another angle. Why did they feel ashamed when Vyasadeva came? Because he makes distinction on their girls, what kind of activities and interactions you can have with girls. Because he's a grihastha. So he sees girls, it may be part of the universal form, and that is the law's nature, but he is a grihastha, he could interact this way or that way. So, and it may be connected to Krishna, so therefore they then immediately feel shy. Well, he just sees on the Brahman platform, and there are no duties, so there's no interaction, so they see that. Prabhupada mentions the girls have a sixth sense. They can tell who's a brahmachari, who's not. Like that. The brahmacharis have their idea who's a brahmachari, but in reality, the women are the ones who can say who's a brahmachari. From them you can learn who's a brahmachari, and then you can know and be like that. But they can say. You understand? Because they can see who is interactive with them on the social sensual platform and who's not. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. No, but that's thing. I mean, that's just one. Also, then their sensitivity to appreciate the finities of food and the arrangements is double that of a man. You know what I'm saying? Man could eat the same noodles every day. Woman mixes it up. In other words, their appreciation is double. Right? They're four times as clever. Men think they're smart. Women are more clever. Otherwise, how is it the men are doing all the stuff they want, but the men think that they're doing it themselves? You got to be clever. You understand? So, like that, that's the point. Men have their qualities, women have theirs. That's all arranged by Krishna. You understand the laws of nature, you understand how it works. You know, to whatever degree you can, whatever Krishna reveals. That's the real science, right? In other words, the spiritual science is the highest, the metaphysical is the next, then the physical science is the lowest, right? So the scientists are good at the physical science and they consider themselves the best, but the metaphysical is so much higher. And then the spiritual is higher than that. So. Prajapati Daksha continued, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers, who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him." Footnote 9. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha Anucheda 12, Srila Jiva Goswami refers to this verse when he writes, "The Lord is the origin of the different potencies that the jivas are sheltered under. Even though Maya Shakti and Chit Shakti are antagonistic, they are both sheltered by the same Krishna. The potencies of the Lord may be divided into two opposite kinds. One, the internal or spiritual potency, and two, the external or material potency, Maya. These two potencies inspire their followers to think and act in diverse ways. And in this way, there are innumerable different activities and innumerable different philosophies, each hostile to the other. Nevertheless, all this variety has a single origin. That single origin is described by Maharaj Daksha." So, the intelligence coming from Krishna, then you get all these philosophies, and each one's looking at the material energy in a particular aspect, because there's so many potencies that are there. Someone, by their nature, sees this potency, someone sees that, someone gives this one more importance, someone gives that one more importance. And so, because they're not seeing on the platform of the soul and service to the Lord, therefore, then they don't agree, and they always have contradictory positions, can't actually come to a conclusion. Right? So as soon as they introduce Krishna and that we're servants of Krishna, then there'll be one opinion. Right? Now how to carry out that opinion, there'll be a variety, because in the spiritual there's also variety. But on the principle that it's about serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna, that there will be no difference. But on the material, then whether you want to serve Krishna and please Krishna is an option out of unlimited alternative options. But in the spiritual world, there's only that one option. But the same variety remains. Now it's about how you're going to please Krishna, because he's unlimited. He can be pleased in unlimited ways. Right? Does that make sense? And the one who knows these unlimited ways the best is Radharani. Right? And then, so what her maids or what her assistants recommend like what Rupa Goswami recommends in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what the acharyas then give us an understanding of that. That's what then we do. We don't make up our own unlimited. Because our own unlimited means within our small sphere of exposure, we will make combinations out of that. Now, whether those combinations are good or not. It's just like mathematically, you take one, you have, you know, so many different ways to cook something. So many different time, places where you can put spicing in. So many different kinds of spices. Right? And then so many kinds of vegetables. Now, mathematically, you could take every vegetable and deal with it in all those different ways. So technically, you could deep fry a squash. Right? But it's generally never taken as a major thing. But it is a mechanical option. Right? So, of all the different mathematical options that are there, a few of them are outstanding, and those then become traditional preparations. Mm-hmm. You know? Does that make sense? Yes. Like, you know, have you ever heard of, you know, like, jinga posta? Like that. You could also do Karela posta. You know, it'll work. But jinga posta is outstanding. Right? You know, or paneer butter masala. You could also do paneer mustard oil masala. You could also do paneer, you know, sesame oil masala. You could also do paneer margarine masala. But paneer butter masala stands out. You understand? Or instead of paneer, you could do potato. Potato butter masala. Potato mustard oil masala. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that that's why tradition is there. It's out of the unlimited that you can do. What are the ones or flavors or directions that are recommended? That's what we do. So this idea, oh, you could do anything. Yeah, you could do anything, but whether it'll be pleasing to Krishna's devotees or not, that's another thing. Oh, I'm offering a devotion, but why would you make up something when something's recommended? If someone says, well, I don't know what to get them for their birthday. Oh, why don't you get them this? They really like that. No, I was thinking to get something else that, you know, well, he doesn't really like those things. You know, I was thinking to do a surprise. Well, he doesn't really like surprises. No, no, let's have a surprise. You know, so how is that devotion? I like it. I like the idea of a surprise. I like arranging the surprise. But the person doesn't like the surprise. So that's why we hear from authority. Right? Is that... Makes sense? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. Since time immemorial, says, since time immemorial, I offer my obeisances unto him. That's okay. Since time immemorial, since the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls have formed various parties of philosophical speculation. But this is not true of the devotees. Non-devotees have different ideas of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and therefore they are called vadis and prativadis, proponents and counter-proponents. Right? So you have your vada, and then you have your prativada. You have, I have my, and then you have the counter. So thesis and antithesis. Right? So, you know, you're always going to have. Philosophy means finding the ultimate cause. As Vedanta Sutra very reasonably says, atato brahma jigyasa, human life is meant for understanding the ultimate cause. Right? Because that's the whole point, is that what is the what are the scientists in trying to find out the origin of life? Where is coming from? Why everything's happening? So yes. Now if we take that further, that we take it back and can get to the actual original, that makes devotees the greatest scientists. They're the actual scientists. And others are dabbling around with, you know, something, who cares? Right? You know what I'm saying? Because we know somebody's DNA is the way it is by the karma. Right? Now if they have a karma that they're supposed to be born one way and it can change into another, only then can you change their DNA and have a reaction. Otherwise you can't do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know? Yeah. You see if they can work on flying dogs. That would be pretty good, right? Because flying dogs, and then, you know, they could deliver all kinds of things, right? you know, instead of running around, they can, you know, getting run over by, you know, you, how many dogs get run over by cars, right? Now, if they could fly, they wouldn't get run over by cars. So much superior, you know, pet. You know, plus if you need it, you know, pop down to the store and pick up something and all that, then they could just, you call up the store, tell them I need this, and then they fly down there and come back. And actually, in the future, by telepathy, you'll let the guy know there, or even just let the dog do, and he'll just go in like this. So, you know, it'll be good. Right? Yes.
He's noting down.
He's noting down. But well, it's actually a bad example for him because in China there aren't really any dogs. Yes, yes. But if they could telepathically get all the dogs from other countries to fly in, then that would be good. Yes. Yes.
Modern science is only Vada.
They're Vada or they Pratibhadis. They have counter, means one scientist has one theory, and then the other is just like you have string theory and what's the other one? Particle theory. You know, so one's would be the Vadi, the other one's the Pratibhadi. You know, because each one thinks I've got the philosophy, and the other guy he's the jerk. Right? You know, so it's always going to be that. Okay, so in here. Is that clock right?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow, look at the new hand. Ooh, fancy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.